Let me tell you something. There is nothing like a dark studio and Robert Plant and time travel. It don't get any better than that. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. At JChurchRadio. I'm going to tell you what. The questions and the comments about time travel and Larry Flaxman tonight, it's on fire. Come and join the conversation. It's Coast to Coast AM. Right now, you can catch George Norrie's internet TV show Beyond Belief for dynamic discussions on paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things time travel, unexplained. You can check out the preview right now, that trailer for Beyond Belief at beyondbelief.com. You can sign up for 99 cents for the first month and enjoy hours of fascinating past shows. Just go to beyondbelief.com. It's Friday night. It's open lines. It's time travel with Larry Flaxman. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our guest tonight, Larry Flaxman. It's Friday night. It is a full-on time travel evening. Let's go straight back to the phones. Let's go to West of the Rockies. And hi, you're up first on Coast to Coast, Washington.
Hello?
Yes, you're live.
I was listening to you talk about the time travel stuff, and that everything you're saying is really interesting. But I was thinking that I don't think time travel can happen because the future is so fluid. Everyone's choices all around you will affect the future in some little way. So anything that happens in the future can't come back because it hasn't happened yet. And no one's made the choice for it to happen yet.
Larry?
You know, I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with that. I mean, to a certain extent, yes, I think you're right that free choice and our ability to make conscious decisions, I think, certainly changes the route of reality for us. But at the same time, again, as I mentioned earlier on the show with Jimmy, there really is, outside of the human concept of time and our linear understanding of it, time doesn't exist. There is no such thing as the past. There is no such thing as the future. There is only the present. So past, present, future really only exist right now, immediately. The minute that, or the second that, you can't even comprehend anything even beyond that. If you try to think about there is no such thing as the future, there is no such thing as the past, then you start thinking, well, I have memory, so obviously the past occurred. So yes, again, human concept of it, but in nature, past, present, and future are all exactly happening right now. So I think to a certain extent, yes, you're right, but at the same time, with the idea that we have memories and that we have the ability to recall events in the past, that yes, I think yes. The answer.
Okay. Yeah, very good, Avi. Thank you for the phone call. And actually, she raises a really good point about that. Let's go to first time callers line in Texas. Steve, you're up next on Coast.
Hello.
You're live, Steve.
Yeah, hi. A little while ago, you said something like you thought like the invention of the wheel was too impressive for its time.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when would it have not been so impressive, and when would it have been invented?
Well, my point was, and I'll let Larry answer right after this. My point is that some things just happened. It's another thing if you were taught, okay, we're always taught about our knowledge today, and we take that forward. We're taught something, but there are examples of things happening instantaneously, and one of the things is the wheel. It just appeared. Now, that's a very curious thing for somebody to just think up one day, you know, and so that's my point with that. Maybe they had a glimpse of the future and they didn't know what the wheel was, but they saw it working, so they tried to recreate it, and there you go. And that's my point, Larry.
Right, but at some point it would have had to have been invented without prior knowledge, so why not the history that we know of,
Larry?
No, and I think the caller raises a very valid point. And I think a lot of that probably speaks to the idea of some type of intelligent intervention at some point. You know, I think there's only so much that you can really credit human ingenuity with, because you're absolutely right. The idea for the wheel, there had to have been some progress or evolution leading up to that generally. There had to have been prototypes or ideas or different thought processes to try to fulfill a need that would realize the wheel as a design. But I think to Jimmy's point, and I think speaking, I trying to understand exactly where you're going with that, there are certain things throughout history, maybe beyond the wheel, that typical ideology really doesn't fit. If you look at specifically at Moore's Law, where the idea of transistor technology doubling every 2 years, if you apply that to other technologies, there are, throughout history, there have been bursts of technological gain that have been achieved. So I think some of that, certainly you can say that human ingenuity was involved in that. But, you know, if you look at a society, again, going back to ancient Egypt, you look at a society that was supposedly so primitive, but yet was able to build these very finely engineered and architected facilities that even to this day we're unable to replicate. And you look at that across the world, there's a variety of pyramidal structures that are found throughout the world, not just Egypt. Last count, I read something like that there's 5,000 different pyramid-type structures. But the Egyptians really, I mean, that's all the credit really goes back to that civilization. But regardless, I mean, there have been multiple technological things that were supposedly, that were present during those times, and then somehow were forgotten for X number of years, and then rediscovered. Electricity, a perfect one. I hinted at the Dendera light bulb. If you're not familiar with that, I don't remember the exact temple that's found in.
It's in the Dendera temple at Dendera.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. It's late. Sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's quite all right. And Steve, thank you for the phone call. And there was another point that I wanted to make on that. It's not just the wheel, you know, it's round, but now right. You've got a hub, you've got an axle, you've got the design, you've got the cart that's going to sit on top of. And it's an entire complex mechanism that quite honestly appeared to show up overnight. What was it before that in development? A square wheel?
Yeah,
no.
My point about the progress.
Yeah, I mean, it happened so rapidly. All right, let's go to wild card. Let's go out here out west, Palm Springs, Mary. You're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, Mary. What do you have for Larry?
Well, first of all, I need to say one thing. I do believe that we're living interdimensionally at the same time. So I know we refer to it as past lives and future lives, but I feel that it's all happening at one time. But I have a wonderful experience this year. I was in Mount Shasta and met someone. I was doing chair massage at the WESAC conference and met someone. And when we met, his name was Gary, but I kept calling him Peter. And I jokingly said, it must be from a past life. And then we connected, and I went to Egypt and came back, and we started going around to all the sacred sites in Mount Shasta. And we went to Pluto Caves and went to one of the caves where he told me there was a portal to other dimensions. So we held hands and walked towards the portal, and literally went through the rock, and we were in a dimension where we were a couple. And his name was Peter, and my name was Helen. And it was just an amazing experience. And both of us experienced the same thing. It was quite phenomenal. And just to be sure, I knew it was really happening. I had a fungus on my eyelid for about 6 weeks. So anyhow, it was just really cool. But when I went to Egypt, and after I came back, I have experienced a lot of interdimensional kind of experiences, but I thought that was just one to share. And I don't have any science to back it up. I just have my experience.
And what do you think about that, Larry? Is it possible to have because the myth of portals and stargates and areas around the world that where vortexes are possible, that's gone on for millennia.
Absolutely.
So do you think that's what she is that what you think Mary experienced?
You know, I mean, it could be. I mean, it certainly sounds like her experience is one that she truly believes had occurred. She has detailed recollection of the experience. So
it sounds. Well, hold on, Larry. It sounds like we're doing a little time traveling with you right now. We're gonna have to reset your phone line. And Mary, thank you for the phone call. And I will say this to everybody. I've had my own experience with missing time, and I can't explain it when it happens. And I know I've told the story before about the house that I drove past and saw it and brought my friends back to see it. It was for rent, and the house was gone. And I can't explain it. I don't want to be the crazy guy to my friends, but I know what happened, and then I just went through the experience, and it is something that I still can't explain. Let's go to East of the Rockies, Herb, out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy, Larry. I'm very fortunate to have an opportunity to share with you my belief that time travel, as we know it, it's probably not possible, although there are a lot of theories that suggest that it is possible. Like Larry said, no one has achieved it yet, and I think that's because, you also mentioned, Larry, that time is a function of human understanding. You know, we hear these quantum physicists talking all the time about space-time, about how space and time are interrelated and are the basis of the physical universe. Am I right so far?
Well, I would say that is true. We're bringing Larry back on the line right now, but I'll answer this. I think that the possibility now exists, the possibility is stronger every day about a multiverse. And going to the left and going to the right, you know, an infinite amount of universes out there. And I believe that is possible. And the reason why is at the quantum level, where we are able to get identical atoms and such physical things to react to each other that are very, very, very far apart. And that says to me that there is a connection in that dimension with everything.
Well, here's my proposition. Space-time exists in this physical universe as we know it. But my belief is that in a different dimension, that being eternity, where time does not exist, I believe that space-time, the concept of time, was created by God, who resides in eternity. And the residents of eternity, angels, are known throughout history to be able to appear in the past and in the present. And how can we tell about the future because we haven't been there?
Well, and also, we have Larry back now, but I'll say this before we hit the break. When we witness something like that, we don't know. We call an angel, but we don't know if that is just us from the future or from the past. We don't know. It comes from the heavens, so it's a god, but it could be another species visiting Earth, and it's just our reference to that. But back to your point, the reference to time that Larry was talking about earlier, I need the audience to grasp this thought. When you're out in space, not on Earth, moving in a linear fashion with time. But if you're out in space and you point up, time is going in that direction, assuming if you point down or look down or look to the left or look to the right, time is going in all directions. It's not just moving forward as it would be here on Earth. And that's a concept where, what is time at that point? You know,
well, time is a device that we've been given to measure our experience, because in this physical limited existence that we now occupy, we have only the ability to reckon what has happened to us already. We certainly have no real way of knowing what's going to happen to us in the future, and we know at this moment in time, the present, what's happening to us now. But, you know, Larry mentioned about the concept of the past. Just pick up a leaf that has fallen from a tree in the fall and hold that through the winter until the spring, and you can see that there was a leaf on the tree in the past. And the buds that are sprouting on the tree now in the spring prove that there is the potential for a future.
Well, that's interesting. Larry's back with us. Larry, what do you think about that point? And thank you for the call, Herb.
Well, I missed the original question, but just listening to that, no, I mean, that's absolutely spot on. I mean, there really is that concept that time and space really at some point become kind of a blurred line.
Well, and also I think it's important for us all to kind of realize here that what time is, what a lifetime to an animal is, you know, versus us, and the speed of life and the concept of time to them is totally different. The only reason why we know what time is because we invented clocks.
Right.
Right? Without clocks, my version of a day and your version of a day, or how fast an hour passes by, is totally not relevant. I mean, your concept of time is faster or slower than mine. It may be the same, but probably not. It's only the watch or the clock or a sundial that gives us any concept of how fast time is moving by.
Correct.
Our guest tonight is Larry Flaxman. Larry, I mentioned earlier, before we get back to calls, I mentioned earlier about vortexes. And I one day saw a house, and then I went back, and the house was not there. Now, is that an example? I mean, literally not there. Is that an example of time slippage or a parallel universe? And I want your answer to that when we come back after the break. Our guest tonight is Larry Flaxman. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. It's a time travel, open lines kind of night. I'll be right back. Our guest tonight, Larry Flaxman. The subject, time travel. It's Friday night, open lines. Let's do this. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Larry Flaxman. We're doing time travel. Nothing like a dark studio and time travel. And you know what? We're going to go to, let's go out to St. Louis and Jenny. Jenny, are you going to go see George Norrie tomorrow?
Hello, am I on?
Yeah, are you going to go see George tomorrow in St. Louis?
You know, I was very much considering it. I haven't bought my tickets yet, but that's something I think I must do.
Yeah, the tickets are still available. You're in town. You might as well go and do it. I mean, it's a great
Absolutely.
Opportunity, right?
Absolutely.
All right, you say that time travel has happened.
Well, I mean, has it been proven? You know, Einstein's theory of, you know, traveling faster than light, it's practically impossible, you know, for the human, considering all the forces that would be, you know, exerted on our bodies. But, you know, I saw an interesting program with Morgan Freeman just recently, how they explained a slight shift in time travel to the past with a satellite spiraling around the Earth in reverse.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And I thought that was very interesting. You know, I haven't dug deeper into that concept, but it's actually, you know, quite, if a human has experienced that in real time, if that's what's actually happening to him, you know, that's quite interesting. It could, you know, speaking of altering future, you know, occurrences, one of the most common ones that I remember was Back to the Future, you know, when Marty McFly starts to disappear while playing Earth Angel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, that's a really good point. And Larry, I'd like for you to address that, because you and I have talked about this, not only with Einstein's version of it, and you don't have to exceed the speed of light, by the way. You only need to get close to it.
Right.
So that's one thing, and it's totally achievable. We just haven't built the ship yet, but theoretically it's possible. But also frame drops, time slips, and what is going on with satellites and the GPS system certainly show that time travel is not only possible, but it's happening right now as I speak.
Definitely. I think we started delving with it back with the Philadelphia experiment early when Larry was talking about the lack of time, and time-space. There is no time, and the only reference we have is, our atomic clocks. I think when they were experimenting with the Philadelphia experiment, they subjected those people to basically a point in time where they were isolated, suspended in time, broken down on a molecular level, with electromagnetics. Now, when they turn those, back off, obviously you guys remember the story, there's guys melded into the ship. They were actually bonded with the steel, they couldn't get their,
Yeah, I'm gonna actually jump in and pull Larry in, because this is Larry's favorite subject.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I mean, specifically, where do you want me to go with that? I mean, there's a lot of different directions we could talk about with the Philadelphia experiment.
Well, just recently, I had seen a program about the Philadelphia experiment I've never, ever seen before, and it was these two gentlemen who claimed to have traveled in time, and they had met each other. There was a point in time from, I think it was 43 to 83 was the only, wormhole that they could travel through, and I thought that was quite interesting, and they were very thorough with their explanation, had a lot of details, but, as far as time travel goes, zero space, time. I mean, when we're subjected to different environments, are we actually, not experiencing whatever everybody else is experiencing because we're not aware of that biological, synchronicity with everyone else, that 9 to 5 or,
Right. Well, one of the prevailing thoughts with the Philadelphia experiment, and the reason why, apparently, according to legend and lore, that many of the sailors aboard the Eldridge went crazy was because their body clock was synced to a reference point that was different from where they physically ended up. So now, is there any scientific evidence of that experiment? No. Jimmy and I, on his show a couple nights ago, we talked very much in depth about the Philadelphia experiment and some of the pros and cons to either debunk or to propose it as possible. And, there's a lot of unanswered questions in my mind as far as the Philadelphia experiment. There certainly have been folks that have come forward and said, I was a part of the project, but there have also been many people, reputable as well, that said, hey, I was a surviving crew members from the ship that have said, hey, I was a crew member of the ship, nothing like that ever happened. So you've got kind of got that dichotomy. I mean, who do you believe? Do you believe the some of the more conspiratorial folks? Do you believe some of the folks that actually have tenured war history? So I don't know. I mean, as far as the science of the Philadelphia experiment, and again, we talked about this the other night, there is enough significant evidence, including some admissions by the Navy, that there was some experimentation that was going on, but according to them, the official history and the official story obviously is different than legend and lore. But I think that the Philadelphia experiment was not attempting to achieve time travel, and it was not attempting to simply achieve the degaussing effect or magnetic invisibility of the hull of the ship. But I think that they were attempting to do physical invisibility of the ship. Some of the folks that were involved in that project, very strong background in physics, people that would have probably had more experience in bending light to manipulate it and to allow physical invisibility.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Jenny, thank you for the call. And he's brought up some good points, and especially about the Philadelphia experiment. I want to say this. back then where we were trying to achieve certain things, not only with invisibility to radar, that was one of our goals, invisibility in general. Degaussing was something that was a big problem in mines and the wolf packs in the Pacific. That being said, they were dealing with large amounts of electricity and experimenting, not knowing what was going to happen, and they threw the switch. What happened after that? What they thought was going to happen is one thing, and then what ended up happening was another. Was it time travel? Did they open up a portal? Did that happen? Did they achieve true invisibility? And then all of that was a result of things that they had no clue about what was going to happen when they threw the switch and a million volts went through the hull of the ship. You just don't know. And that's what's interesting. I think that that the experiment happened. What happened after that, nobody would talk about. They couldn't. It's a top secret, absolute black project that in World War II, there were lots of those going on at the same time. Let's go to one of my favorite cities, Bristol, Tennessee. Cliff, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hey, guys. Awesome, awesome show. I wish I had 2 hours to talk to you guys, but I don't. But I'll narrow it down. First of all, Larry, you're right. People think of time as linear. You gotta get that out of your head. It's not linear. And number two, Einstein theorized about gravitational waves, which is time and space manipulation. And I think, I'm not positive, but I think NASA actually discovered some gravitational waves.
Oh, you're talking about just recently with the LIGO experiment and binary star systems. Yeah, that was an absolutely astounding report.
Yes, sir. And I think, first of all, like I said, I think people need to stop thinking as time is linear. Okay, and Jimmy, you made a great point earlier about, you know, you go west, you go north, you go south, as far as time concerned, it's not linear.
Yeah, and it doesn't see, this is the thing. If you're out in space, and Larry and I were talking about this, it's very interesting. If you're out in space and you're going in one direction, if you turn around, that doesn't mean you're now going backwards in time, right? It doesn't work that way. Or to the left or to the right or any direction out in space, that doesn't mean so. No, time is not, it's not linear, and certainly in space, it's...
It is not linear. And another thing, people think we're so advanced in technology and all this, but we have only scratched a very large surface of our technology, a very small surface of a large surface of technology. We have not even begun. We have not even got out of our... I'll give you an example. Look at Star Trek, okay? That's what I usually talk to people about. Star Trek. Look back in the 60s, 70s, the original Star Trek. They had the communicators, okay? We never even dreamed of something like that. Well, okay, we all have cell phones now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Look at the Jetsons cartoon, you know, people talking face to face with people. Okay, that was a cartoon. We never even dreamed about that. And now that's so common.
Yep.
And
well, Cliff, really quick, we're winding down here. Do you have a question for Larry?
Great. I just want to say great show, and I wish I could talk forever, but I can't. I was asking him about the gravitational waves that Einstein theorized many, many decades ago.
Okay. Fair enough. And thank you for the call, Cliff. Larry, what do you think about that? I mean, the gravitational waves, well, it was first talked about in the late 1800s, but it was something that Einstein predicted and a couple of months ago, gravitational waves are here. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, what goes around comes around, right? I mean, that's that concept. Einstein predicted that century ago. So, you know, I think it serves certainly to help push the general theory of relativity. But yeah, I mean, as far as from a time travel perspective, I think that it will have far-reaching implications. I think that there are certainly are things that we will discover based on this new finding that will certainly help propel the idea of physical time travel.
Let's go to west of the Rockies. Let's go out to Washington. Coke, you say that you're, how would we return from time travel? That's your question for Larry?
That's right, Mr. Fleischman. Do we have to have some kind of a miniaturized device so that we can push the return button and get back, or how is it going to work?
That's a great question, and one that I wish I had the answers to. But unfortunately, again, we don't have the technology. I mean, we can theorize as far as energy requirements to build a device, but then there's a whole host of other technological challenges as well. You know, if you utilize, for instance, gravitational waves, as we were just talking about, utilizing a black hole, for instance, the amount of gravity that would be present would absolutely destroy any type of known substrate material that man is aware of at this point. So unless we're able to create a craft of sorts that, first of all, could exceed the speed of light, which, again, we don't have that type of energy technology, but that also the craft would be able to shield a human being from the type of gravitational forces that would be involved in speed of that magnitude, doesn't exist. It would have to be some sort of unknown, high-tech, composite, unique material, something that we don't have any concept of at this point. So when you ask how would you return, I think that really predicates on how we would get there in the first place.
Well, there's also let me jump in here for a second, Larry. There's also, you know, once you are stretched out, right, you would be, you know, you would be a string of atoms, right? And, you know, along with your ship. And when you came out the other side, how does it reassemble? And theoretically, it's that, you know, they're going to go back to the place that they were before, and you would just appear. Or would you continue to be a string of atoms and you wouldn't reassemble, therefore time travel wouldn't matter because you would be disassembled on the other end?
Yeah, I mean, these are all great questions, and they're all, I think, technological questions that will, as we progress and build technology to move in this direction, I think we'll probably be self-answering. But at this point, no idea at all.
Yeah, Coke, thank you for the phone call. And there's the other concept too as well, which is time control from an out-of-body experiment or experience, where you're not physically leaving this time, just your mind is, and you're visiting, and then therefore you wouldn't need a mechanical button or a ship or a time machine to go there and back.
And then also your body again would be physically locked to the present time. So when you're mentally time travel to a certain extent, your body still has that reference point to return to.
Let's go west of the Rockies, wild card. Let's go to Jerry right here in Redding, California. Jerry, welcome to Coast.
Many thanks. Very quickly, Larry, many of my situations have started with dreams, and for what it's worth, just an extra here. Some months ago, I had a dream that a rogue nation would have a terrible nuclear accident. But I'm here to talk about time travel. And for what it's worth, in year 2002, I had a very vivid dream, and I got up, punched it in on my computer, and I had typed in that time is made up of three elements, past, present, and future, and that I was living in the future and am at this time. And at some point, I'll be going back to late 1977. And so I have been compiling major events that have occurred, earthquakes, tragedies, major things. And what I've learned is that I'm to be prepared to go back. I may or may not. Of course, I don't know. But it has been kind of an interesting thing. And yes, I have been very familiar with the Philadelphia experiment and where a parallel universe may have been identified in that. And I even think about, like, Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, how was he able to draw sketches of a submarine and a helicopter? And even Albert Einstein, who wrote a letter to his sister when he was about 18 or 19 years old, saying he was not well educated, he didn't have a career, and he even says in that letter, which is still preserved, he proposed the idea that maybe he shouldn't even have been born.
Well, Jerry, what you should do, and I know that you're preparing for time travel, what you should do is you need to send me an email directly. You can do it off the Coast website. You can also go to my website, jimmychurchradio.com. Send me an email. I want to know what happens back in 1977. Larry, I want to thank you for coming on with us tonight. Absolutely fascinating, fascinating conversation. And Larry's website is larryflaxman.com. All of his books, info, where he's speaking, TV, and everything is right there. Thank you, Larry. This is Coast to Coast. More of your phone calls next.